ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनः शृण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सि टुडे इस् अ डे वि टुडे आन्वर्ड्स् दिस् नवरात्रि ऐ सेड् दिस् नैन् डेस् we pray for three important things we invoke the lord to bless us with three four things required first thing we ask is for health physical mental health without which nothing can be accomplished then second thing we ask for is wealth So, second 3 days. And the last 3 days, we ask for what is the use of having health and wealth if we do not accomplish wisdom. Therefore, 3 days, finally we ask, wisdom. And we invoke the grace, okay? I'm going to talk to you about it on the Vijayadashmi day. So, this is, and today onwards, the 3 days, we pray for wisdom. Do you mean in estates we started actually? Estate today and tomorrow. No? Na Ashtami Navami, Saptami Navami, Saptami, Ashtami Navami, 3 days. Then Dashami, then once you have all the three, you are a victorious person. Okay? Attainment of victory is a 10th day. It's called Vijaya Dashami. Okay? A 10th day of victory is called Vijaya Dashami. So we have to invoke the grace today because we are not doing a formal puja here. Today, we'll be doing also here, we'll all be gathering and we'll have a nice puja, we pray and then we thank Bhagavan for all that we are blessed with and we desperately, we beg Devi that what all we need to be blessed with also. So, we'll pray for what we need to, we wait to get and we'll thank her for what we've been already blessed with. Okay? So, we'll have that also and here and then So let us, today it is, our chanting also is like I think of course every day, whether I see you or not, I think of all of you in all my pujas. Generally I think all of you I think of as a whole, not only of my members, relatives, everything. We pray for the well-being and then, so today also let us do this parayanam, even though it's not a proper puja that we'll do it. ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ इट् इस् वेरि ईजि फार् अस् टु गेट् डिस्ट्राक्टेड् अण्ड् टु बि डिस्टर्ब्ड् बै अदर् थिङ्ग्स् दट् इन् स्पैट् आफ् नोयिङ्ग् दि वेल्यू आफ् दि अटैन्मेण्ट् आफ् विस्डम् अवर् कमिट्मेण्ट् टु द पर्स्यूट् मे नाट् बि अडिक्युवेट् Or even if the commitment is there, we may have lots of income, lots of obstacles. So somehow, how things can work and disturb us a lot. That's why this is now, we pray for the Shraddha in our commitment to the, or Shraddha in attaining this wisdom and commitment to the, so we pray to Devi to bless us with the, really commitment itself first of all to the pursuit of knowledge and also understanding of the Shastram and the clarity and also pray for her grace not to be confused by the teaching also. Okay, not to have confusions, not to have wrong understanding and misunderstanding. We need only grace. We can make efforts plus we need grace. Isn't it? ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Ayanaya Vidmahi Kanyakumari Dhimahi Tanno Durgih Prachodayat. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Om Namo Bhagavatyai Shri Mahakali Mahalakshmi Mahasaraswati Rupinyai Parashaktyai Mahashaktyai Bhavataranyai 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 Sarvashaktimayai Rajarajeshwaryai Bhavanyai Sarvaroga Shamanyai Sarvadukha Shamanyai Sarvasampat Pradatryai Sarvavidya Pradatryai Sarvajnana Pradatryai Sarvakarya Jayapradayanyai Sarvabhishta Siddhidayai Durgayai Mukambikayai Sharadambayai Kamakshi Vaishnavi Lalitambikai Shri Mahatripura Sundarye Matre Om Namaschandikaye Sarva Mangala Mangalye Shive Sarvartha Sadhike Sharanye Trambake Gauri Narayani Namostute Sharanagata Dinartha Paritrana Parayane Sarvasyarthi Hare Devi Narayani Namostute Sarvasvarupe Sarveshe Sarvashakti Samanvite Bhayebhyastrahino Devi Bhayebhyastrahino Devi Bhayebhyastrahino Devi Durge Devi Namostute Om Namaschandikayai Indriyanam Adhishtatre Bhutanam Chakileshuya Bhuteshu Tadatam Tasyai Vyapti Devi Namo Namaha Chitirupenaya Krishnam Yetad Vyapyasthita Jagat Namastasyai 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 Namo Namaha Yakundendu Tusharahara Davala Yashubhravastravrata Yavinavaradanda Manditakara Yashveta Padmasana Ya Brahma Chuta Shankara Prabhruti Bihi Devai Sada Pujita Samam Pato Saraswati Bhagavati Nissesha Jajapaha Om Namo Bhagavati Shri Mahasaraswati May Bhagavati Parashakti bless all of us with the clear vision of the Shastra. We saw Gaudapada Acharyaji puts it differently that Amani Bhavaha is the only way for us to become free from samsara. Amani Bhavaha means seeing the mind being not there. Or you can say Mano Nashaha. So again, Mano Nashaha or Amani Bhavaha does not mean physically destroying the mind, but it is having the mind cognitively seeing, resolving the mind that the mind is not there. And for you to say mind is not there means what? There is no mind. Mind is not there means mind is as good as non-existent. For you to say mind is as good as non-existent, You can't say mind is not there at all, because the mind is there very much. So mind is as good as non-existent means understanding mind being mithya. Manasaha mithyatva jnanam amani bhavaha. Understanding mind being the mithya, or negating the mind as not the substance, negating the mind as mithya. Mind being, understanding mind being mithya is, in fact, seeing the mind is something which is as good as non-existent. So, understand the mind being mithya is possible only if we know the satya atma. What is satyam? And satyam, the truth being nothing but the atma. Okay? So, this understanding of the atma, the satya atma, satya advaita atma, the non-dual reality, the atma, will help us understand mind being mithya. And understanding mind as mithya is what? Understanding mind being as good as non-existent, which is cognitive resolution of the mind, and which is amani bhavaha. And for which, to understand the atma, the satya atma, we need, you know, the shastram and the teacher. So with the help of the teacher, through the proper systematic study of the shastram, one has to have the assimilated vision of the atma. In having assimilated vision of the atma as satyam, the mind will be everything, the entire jagat will negate as mithya, and mind also can be resolved as mithya. This is called amani bhava. It's one way of, you know, resolving the mind as mithya. This is amani bhavaha, which we saw last class, and thereafter we also saw the next verse. I think we have to go to the, see what happens. See, the self-knowledge, when you say self-knowledge, knowledge of the truth or the reality of the whole Brahman is in fact knowledge of the Atma, the truth of one's own self. This is very important here. There's no way of understanding the truth of the Jagat, the reality of the whole, as an object, but the truth of the whole has to be understood only as the swarupam of the knower. This, how do we understand? That's why the scientists are struggling. They're never able to come to the conclusion, because they see themselves as the discoverer, and they want to discover the truth externally. That's why the search continues to be there forever. It never comes to an end. Because what the Shastram says is, the truth of the whole can be discovered, definitely, but not as an object, but as the, not as a subject also, but as the very swarupam, very existence, the adhishtanam, the substratum, the very substance of the subject, the very discoverer, the knower. And when this, the truth of the whole, implied by the term Brahman, being the truth of every individual, everything here, as the innermost essence of every being here, it is also implied by the term Atma. Isn't it? Therefore, it is the knowledge of the truth as the self, you know, alone, it is knowledge of the truth as the self will help us discover everything else other than the Atma being mithya. And understanding everything else, include the right mind onwards, the entire external objective universe being mithya is understood, then anything mithya is resolvable as what? As something not there. Is as good as non-existent. Because mithya cannot be counted. Mithya is non-countable. Therefore, it is as good as non-existent. In fact, mithya is nothing but satyam. Mithya is satyam. For you to say that there's no such thing called whatever is mithya is satyam. When you say mithya is satyam alone, mithya is appearance of satyam. When you say you have arrived at what? It's a vision of non-duality. Advaita darshanam. Advaita drishtihi. It is in this vision the essence resolves, the differences resolve, and actually the smallness resolves, and the smallness caused the all samsara, everything resolves. That is why we say this vision of the non-duality of the truth, is in fact freedom. They say that. So here, and he put it differently, that is possible when you resolve the very mind. It is easy for us to be objective towards everything else, but very difficult to be objective towards one's own mind. And because it is very difficult to shift the essence from the mind and to see the mind as an object, and thereby to see the mind being mithya and to resolve it as something non-existent. Is very difficult. That is why Amani, he says, just resolve the mind, resolve the essence, resolve the mind, the whole jagat will be resolved as mithya. And then there is moksha. So he presented it. Then, that's why when the jagat is resolved, what happens when the jagat is resolved, including the mind as mithya, then there is no grahyam. There is no grahyam, isn't it? There is a grahya bhavaha. Where is the jagat? Jagat is Brahma. Mithya prapanchaha is Brahman, abrahmatma, atma. The whole jagat is atma. You have to say, I the self am the whole. When you say this, I am the whole. When you say, all that is here is the atma, myself. The self means yourself, there you mean for yourself is Satyam Brahma, isn't it? Not the Namarupa body mind complex. When you say, then there is moksha. So grahya bhave, what now? Also, agraham also, there's no perceiver, experiencer, there's no experienced, and also experience differences. That's made very clear in the 32nd verse. Then we go to the 33rd verse. We started last class, we had to continue.
Akalpakamajam jnanam. Nyeya bhinnam prachakshate.
Nyeya bhinnam prachakshate.
Brahma jnyeyamajam nityam. Nityam
ajenajam vibuddhyate.
Okay. See, prachakshate, there's a verb, prachakshate. Prachakshate means people say. You have to supply one more word there. Brahma vidaha prachakshate. Who say? The wise people say. Those who know the truth. We have to supply. There's no word. Brahma vid means the knower of the reality, Brahman. Parambarulai arindavar. The knower of the truth is called Brahma vid. And Shankara adds in his commentary, Brahma vidaha. Those who know the truth. Prachakshate say. And when wise people say. Why wise people alone can say? Because they know. People who do not know, they cannot speak. They have to keep quiet, dumb. So but here people who know the truth, they say.
What do they say? Brahma vidaha prachakshate jnanam ajam akalpakam. Three words. The truth of the universe obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual, as the substance of the content of the substantive I, Atma. The truth is what? Ajam. No, it is free from time limitation. It is beginningless, anadi, the truth. And that truth is what? Akalpakam means it is not an object of thought or imagination or visualization. It is not available for any conception, any thought perception also. Such a one. That's why. And what is its nature? In what form does the truth obtain? Beautiful. You have to understand. Is there any way I can understand the truth, the reality? So reality has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. This sentence, from day one I met you, I've been repeating this sentence, and because Swamiji is very particular about repeating the sentence, and he repeats in all his classes, if you go and listen. The truth has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. Why? Most abstract, subtlest reality, which is not an object, which is not available for any sort of description, how are you going to understand? Only in terms of its swarupam. What is the truth? How to arrive at it? Jnanam. Truth is of the nature of knowing. That which is of the nature of knowing, that whose swarupam is knowledge, knowing, is the swarupam, is the truth. Okay? We have to search what is which is of the nature of the knowing. So that which is of the nature of knowing is what? The truth. Therefore, jnanam satyam. In Taittiriya Upanishad, we come across this word satyam jnanam anantam. There jnanam comes, isn't it? Jnanam means jnapti swarupam. Jnapti matram, Shankara says. Jnapti he means what? No? Pure knowledge. Pure knowledge is the truth. What is pure knowledge? How will you understand what is pure knowledge? If I simply say pure knowledge is the reality, or consciousness is the reality, awareness is the reality, arive unmai, meipurul. If I simply say this, how will you understand? Therefore, jnanam means jnanati iti jnanam. That which knows is knowledge. Then that which knows is, what is light? That which lights up is light. When you say that which lights up is light, is lighting up is an action? No. It's very nature, isn't it? That which illumines is what? Illuminator, you say. But here, that which illumines is illuminator, but does it mean it's an action? Very swarupam. Isn't it? It's not an action. Similarly, that is how the light is. Similarly, here when you say that which knows, jnanati iti jnanam means that which is of the nature of knowing. That whose being is what? Whose swarupam, very nature is knowing. Knowing means illumining. Illumining means bringing things to light. Understand? That is why we say we have to be very careful. Even though we have our understanding of the word term light, here Atma is the light. Atma is the light means what? We have to understand the definition of the very word light. That which illumines is the light. That which illumines is the light means that which in whose presence things shine, that is light. That which brings to light is the light. Therefore, that in whose presence things come to light, that which shines is light, isn't it? Vijnana means that which is of the nature of illumining. Illumining the entire inert universe. Entire world of inert objects. So that which is of the nature of knowing is what? Jnanam. And this jnanam is what? Beginningless, birthless. We understand it's endless, changeless. Ajam, one word tells all these things. Ajam, akalpakam. No, jnanam, that is what? No, that jnanam, jnaya abhinnam, most important, that pure knowledge, reality, which is of the nature of knowing, so therefore, which is implied by the term pure jnanam, jnaya abhinnam, it is inseparable, non-separate from the known. So, knowledge is that which is inseparable from the known. Jnaya abhinnam, non-separate from the known. That which is inseparable, non-separate from the illumined. Jnaya abhinnam. Bhinna means what? Isn't it? Different, isn't it? Abhinna means is jnaya abhinnam. It is like light and the opaque, consciousness and the material world of objects are inseparable, like water and the ocean, water and the wave. Inseparable. Even though they are not one, they are not two, because they are not two. Advaitam, we don't say ekam. Advaitam, not two. Why? Because they're inseparable. Like what? Like the word and its meaning. Jnaya abhinnam. Jnaya abhinnam. Jnaya abhinnam means what? That is why we say that jnanam is satyam, jnayam is mithya. Jnanam is satyam. See, like light and the opaque, are they separable? No. They are inseparable. Non-separate, isn't it? Light and the opaque, light and the mic are inseparable. Similarly, jnanam and the jnayam, the pure knowledge. Now, you know, we don't even talk about anything. You know, pure knowledge and the known, is it? The objective, the illumined universe, in right from what? Mind onwards, the entire subtle and the gross, everything is inseparable, non-separate means. The jnaya abhinna means, the jnayam is mithya, jnanam is satyam. Jnaya abhinna, is it clear? Now we say, mithya means what? Mithya is that which has no independent existence, which we have been studying from Tattvabodha class onwards. Therefore, satyam is that which has independent existence. Mithya is that which has dependent existence. Therefore, anything which has dependent existence is mithya, which means it is as good as non-existent. It is non-countable. Therefore, we say what? The mithya is satyam. Ocean is water. Even though water is not the ocean, ocean is nothing but water. You say ocean is water means you have resolved the mithya, ocean, the nama rupa, in its truth, the water, satyam, the water. Okay, resolve the seeing mithya as satyam. See, before jnanam also you see mithya as satyam. You mistake the mithya for the reality, isn't it? Without knowing what the satyam is, and when you mistake the mithya for satyam, there is samsara. But after knowing the satyam, and when you see the same mithya as again satyam, which means you don't see, then mithya is as good as non-existent. Seeing mithya as satyam after knowledge is saying there is no mithya at all. Okay? There is only satyam. But seeing mithya as satyam before jnanam means, isn't it? There is no satyam for you. Isn't it? What is that now? You see this here. They call resolving mithya in satyam. How can you say mithya is satyam? Mithya is satyam means satyam alone is. You see, that's why the jnayam jnana abhinnam. Sir, jnaya abhinnam jnana means it is jnaya abhinnam. It is non-separate. Therefore, prachakshate. And that what? And then Brahma. That what is this now? We say this. That jnanam is what? Is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is implied with the term Brahma. There is no incomparably limitless reality other than what? This pure knowledge, which is the Atma. And therefore he says, so Brahman, Atma is what? Brahman is Atma. And Gyeyam, Ajam. Now, this Gyeyam is what? Ajam. Gyeyam is Ajam only. Therefore there is no such a thing called that separate known world other than the Atma. Now he says, ajaha ajam, ajena ajam vibhudhyate. Important line. You have to apply again one more word there. Ajaha ajam, ajena vibhudhyate. So the special teaching of this 33rd mantra is, the uniqueness of the self-knowledge. Uniqueness of the knowledge of the truth. How it is unique? He says, ajaha ajam ajena vibhudhyate. In any knowledge, there will be knower known instrument of knowledge difference. The Triputi Bhedaha will be there. Pramata, Pramanam, Prameyam. This Pramatru, Pramana, Prameya, Bhedaha will be there in any knowledge. Knower, the instrument of, the object of knowledge, instrument of knowledge, object of knowledge, this difference will be there in any knowledge. But in Atma Jnanam, this difference is resolved. Why? Because when you say Atma Jnanam, this Triputi difference, the knower known knowledge difference is not there. Why? Because the subject of knowledge is Atma. And the instrument of knowledge is Atma. The object of knowledge also is Atma. Why we say the known is Atma, the instrument of knowledge is Atma, the knower also is Atma, which means knower status is mithya, instrument of knowledge is mithya, and the known also is mithya. All the three are mithya. The knower's swarupam, the awareness alone, is satyam. This is, there is no difference. And which means, the knower is Atma. In self-knowledge, the knower is Atma, the known is also Atma, isn't it? The knower is Atma. Who knows the Atma? Atma, we say the knower of everything is Atma. But who is the knower of Atma? How does Atma know? Atma knows Atma by Atma. What does it mean? Ajena, Ajaha. Ajaha means Atma here, okay? The beginningless reality, the consciousness, no? We say Ajaha. Ajam, the self, it knows. The self knows the self by the self. What does it mean? Atma knows Atma, by itself. Which means, we understand, Atma need not know itself. Atma is ever evident. Please understand, this is the uniqueness of the self-knowledge. Atma is ever evident. Atma is self-evident. Self-evident, isn't it? Self-evidence is the very nature of the Atma. Therefore, being self-evident, Atma is self-evident. That is what is said here as what? Atma knows Atma by itself. Atma knows Atma by itself means what? Atma is self-evident. Self-evident means what? Being self-evident means not being dependent on any instrument of knowledge or any external means of knowledge, okay, to know. To know I am. I am, you know, I am. What knowledge do you need? What instrument do you need to know you are? Do you need light to know whether you are there or not? Please turn the light on, then I'll tell you whether I'm here or not. Is there a mic? Please turn the light on. I don't know. I can't see anything in darkness. You need the light. But do you need light? Even if you're sitting in darkness, please don't walk on me. You'll say that I'm sitting here. Other person may not see your body, but you don't need to see whether you are there or not, isn't it? You know you are, which means you do not require any light for you to know you are. You do not require any sense organ to know you are. You do not require any other means of knowledge to know your perception, inference, etc. Should I infer? I must be here. Because I'm hungry, you see. Therefore, you don't need to infer that whether you are there or not. You don't need to know you are. What instrument do you need? What effort do you need to make? I really know. To know something is there. To understand something, my God, always effort is involved. What effort do you need to make to know you are? Just you are. Already you know you are. Without any effort, without requiring to use any instrument of knowledge, you know you are. This is what is said to be what now? Atma is of the nature. No? Atma is self-evident. Is it clear now? Being self-evident means not requiring any instrument of knowledge or effort to know that I am. Therefore, we say this Ajaha Ajena Ajam Vibhudhyate. This is the uniqueness of self-knowledge, isn't it? And not only you know you are, and as a human being, you also know one more thing, that you are a conscious being. You are a conscious, you don't say I'm inert, jadam, you don't say. When you know you are, that itself is what to prove that you are a conscious being. And you know you are, you know very well that you are a conscious being already. This Atma Jnanam. Don't you have self-knowledge now? Do you know yourself or not?
You know you are, and you know you are a conscious being. Heart is complete. Purna jnanam. Therefore, ajena ajam vibhudyate means Atma is ever evident, self evident. It is not Atma jnanam, it is not dependent on any instrument of knowledge or effort. Therefore, it is ever evident Atma. It is not some event or something which happens at one particular time. Time and place. An event means it involves time and space. Okay. Now it's very clear. Therefore, if now in this, after this verse, when this verse makes it very clear, Atma is ever evident and self evident, therefore, that is the uniqueness of self knowledge, then the doubt should come. Then why do we need Shastram as the Pramanam for Atma Jnanam? And why do we need to waste our time with this teacher? And who's saying something all the time? Okay? And then are repeating something and sometimes makes us feel bored also. Why do we need this teacher and this Shastram? All the time from day one, sampradaya with the Guruhu, sampradaya with the Guruhu, and the Shastra, Pramanyam, Shastram, Shastram, we've been talking so much, then why do we need? And why do we need to study one text of the other, same thing, same subject matter, repeatedly studying Atta Bodha, that Bodha, that Taittiriya Upanishad, this Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, all these Upanishads, all the textbooks, repeatedly teach one thing, isn't it? Why should we be studying this Shastram at all? Therefore, what is the role of the Shastram and the teacher, isn't it? Really speaking, Atma Jnanam you need not get. Here, Atma Jnanam, what you do not require really the teacher and the Shastram for self-knowledge. When you already said what? Self-knowledge is unique because self is ever self-evident. Self-evident means what? It does not require any instrument of knowledge. Then why do you say Shastram is an instrument of knowledge of the self? Pramanam. Is it clear? Shastram's help, the Guru's help is required not for knowing the self, but to resolve the misconceptions, the erroneous notions, unfortunately, you entertain in your mind. Is it clear? And what are those, what notions we have? First of all, when you understand, I am, and I am pure consciousness. There must be conviction in this statement. Wave is water. Conviction is there or not? You're convinced. Let me think about and tell you whether wave is water or not. Furniture is wood. 100% conviction. Chain is gold. 100% conviction. Pot is clay. 100% conviction. Let me doubt means what? Furniture is nothing but furniture is wood. Conviction is there or not? There is conviction. Which means if you say doubt is there, then that is when we have to use expression maramanda. They say wood is here. There's no doubt. Because I don't need, I want some time to think about, to dwell upon, and come to the conclusion whether the furniture is wood. No, convinced. Aham Brahmasmi, conviction is there. Aham Brahmasmi. I, the content, the substance
After substantive, I the knower is nothing but pure knowledge, jnanam, shuddha jnanam, pure awareness. I, you can say instead of I am means difficult for you to say, wave is water, I is awareness. Let us use yes so you will feel comfortable. I am pure awareness. I, the self, am pure awareness. Are you convinced? Is there conviction? You know, there must be conviction. And for the conviction means what? When the conviction is there, I, the self, am pure awareness, pure knowledge means this gross physical body, I, the awareness, am distinct, though not distant from this physical body. This physical I have nothing to do with this physical body. What does the light have to do with the opaque mic? Just by its mere presence, illumining is the only. Illumining is also not an is effortless swarupam, isn't it? It's not effortful action. You have to illumine the opaque. No effort. That this physical body has nothing. What awareness has nothing to do with the physical body, apart from obtaining it, isn't it? Apart from association with it. Nothing. Therefore, there's nothing to do with the gross body. Therefore, very clear. And many gross bodies come and many come and go. And one of them is this. Many gone before. I don't even remember how I looked and what all, whether I was like this, I was like this. I don't even remember what sort of gross bodies were there before. What? No, many gross bodies, and only, not only one body, my God. So many physical bodies, gross bodies come and go. Different types of gross forms come and go. What about sukshma? There's so many sukshma sharirams come and go. Come and go mean what? Come, resolve, come, go back, come and go. So, sukshma sharirani, subtle bodies come and go. I am awareness. Aham Brahma asmi, nothing to do with this. This comes, many sukshma comes and goes. It is meant for coming and going. Sthulam is meant for coming and going. Comes and comes. This conviction must be there, isn't it? Karna shariram goes for good. Karna shariram does not come. It only goes, results. What is karna shariram here? Ajnanam, isn't it? Avidya. In the wake of knowledge, karna shariram resolves, then doesn't come. It doesn't come first, it's always already there. Beginninglessly, ajnanam is. In knowledge, you resolve it. Gone, for good. In jnanam, knowledge resolve. Ignorance has been there, uncreated. Ignorance, avidya, ajnanam. The karna shariram has been there beginninglessly, uncreated. And it doesn't come, therefore, okay, it's there always. And it resolves. In jnanam, it resolves. The sthula sukshma comes and go, come and go. Many sthulams come and go, many sukshmas come and go. But I, the self, am awareness, pure consciousness, ever free. Okay? This conviction. For this conviction, when it conviction is there, what goes? My God, all those, I am the waker. Wakerhood resolves. You resolve the wakerhood.
sleeperhood resolves, dreamerhood resolves, doership resolves. I am the doer, the doership resolves. I am the enjoyer, enjoyership resolves. I have punyam and papam. I am free from consciousness, ever free from punya papam. Punya papas, sukham dukkham, all pairs of opposites. You know, they all resolve. See, you don't need to run away from punya papa. Being in punya papa, going through pairs of opposites, you can say, I, the self, am free from pairs of opposites. Okay, that conviction, for the conviction alone, no, which means in conviction what happens, you have really corrected all the misconceptions, all your erroneous notions you entertain about the self. They need resolving, they need to be resolved. So only to resolve the erroneous notions, misconceptions you have about the self, you need the help of the Shastram and the teacher. You do not need Shastram and the teacher to know you are, to know you are a conscious being. For conviction alone, you need to resolve the misconceptions. To resolve the misconceptions, you need Shastram and teacher. Is it clear? That is what is to be understood here. Okay, now the next verse. So the uniqueness of self are just discussed in the 33rd verse. That's finished. Therefore, ajena ajam ajaha vibhujyate means what? Atma knows the atma knows atma by itself means. Atma is ever-evident. Atma is ever-evident means self-evident. Self-evident means Atma Jnanam is not an event taking place in a given time and a given place. It doesn't involve any effort and it is there's no means of knowledge required. Is it clear? Okay. Now next. Now the next question is, the next karika is an answer for a doubt. Unless you know what sort of a doubt, this answer for what doubt, you should know what the doubt is first, isn't it? So now the question is, see the, it is the mind which is the cause of the perception of duality. Dvaita darshanam, perception of duality is because of the function of the mind. It's because of the very mind, isn't it? If the mind is resolved, then there is no perception of duality. When there is no perception of duality, there is no samsara. There is no dukkham. How do we know? Every day in sleep, not only in the night, even during the daytime, if we fall asleep, switch the mind off, then there is no perception of duality, then there is no jagat, there is no samsara. That is why sleep is a sukham and nobody wants to be disturbed in sleep. Right from the baby onwards, any elderly tata also, anybody will get cranky when somebody is woken up, disturbed in sleep, they get upset and irritated. We always, when you are fast asleep in the midnight, 6 o'clock is okay, you can tolerate in the morning. But early midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, somebody rings and disturbs you. How angry, how irritated and how... Why? Because the sukham is disturbed. What sukham? No,
Because the sukham you experience in non-dual experience. Don't want to be disturbed. Is it clear? Therefore, if the mind is resolved, my mind is non-functional, there is no perception of duality, then there is no samsara. And now, we say this, what about this jnani? A ajnani, jnani, a wise person, ignorant person, a mad person, for everybody, in sleep, there is advaita anubhavaha. Wise person, when he falls asleep, the condition of his mind is non-different from the condition of the mind of an ignorant person. Is there any difference in condition of the mind of a wise person and the ignorant person in sleep? No. In sleep, all are the same. All of us are same in sleep. In sleep, a wise person also, when he falls asleep, he has advaita anubhavaha. And ignorant person also has advaita anubhavaha. There is temporary moksha. Is a temporary freedom in sleep for everybody. You don't need to worry about. In sleep, nobody works very hard for moksha. Why? You experience moksha in sleep. So you don't need to work for moksha in sleep. In fact, you yourself are not there in sleep, so how will you work for moksha? Isn't it? You are resolved. Therefore, you don't need to worry about the sleep, deep sleep state. Now, what about the dream state? In dream also, wise person or an ignorant person, there'll be what? The condition of the mind in dream state will be the same. Same. In keeping with what all funny, unwanted, undesirable, unfavorable, in keeping in your day, the waking state lifestyle, you would have accumulated your all your thoughts and those projections, and so the dream experience also will reflect what now, actually how you live your waking life. Then accordingly you will have. So maybe even if he gets good, there's some dreams, I'm a very enjoyable dreams he may be getting. I don't know. But we may get both enjoyable or unenjoyable. You know, something's really frightening. Dreams we may get. Isn't it? Just to take the ice cream and go near your, take it near your mouth and somebody comes and reminds you of your cholesterol. And even in dream, you just throw it away. It also happens, isn't it? So what I'm saying, this dreams also, in dream also, the condition of the mind of a wise person and the ignorant person will be the same. Okay? But in waking, there is difference. Isn't it? In waking, what is the perception of an ignorant person? What is the perception of a wise person? There is change in the perception. Isn't it? Of a wise person and an ignorant person. For ignorant person, dvaitam is satyam. For a wise person, dvaitam is mithya. Duality is mithya. For ignorant person, duality is satyam, real. Therefore, when you see duality as satyam, there is, everything is real. If a samsara is real, and samsara is what? Really, he has to go through the misery of problem of samsara. He becomes a victim of the samsarika dukkham. The sorrow which goes, the pain which is inevitable in this life of transmigration. Inevitable. What about the wise person? For the wise person, dvaitam, does he perceive or not? He does perceive the dvaitam.
ignorant person also perceives the dvaitam, wise person also perceives the dvaitam. But for ignorant person, dvaitam is satyam. For a wise person, dvaitam is mithya. Mithya means what? When he says the dvaitam is mithya, the objective universe is mithya, which means for him satyam is, there is no satyam for an ignorant person. Because dvaitam is satyam for him. Mithya is satyam for him, isn't it? Whereas for an for a wise person, dvaitam is mithya means for him satyam is the atma. There is no truth other than the self. There is no truth other than the self for the wise person. Atma satyam. Atma eva satyam. Conviction. Self is the truth. There is no truth other than the self. Atma eva satyam. Iti bodaha. Conviction. He got, I the self am pure awareness, the satyam. There is no truth, there is no reality other than awareness, and that awareness am I. He's convinced, isn't it? How? Anu bodhena. He got it how? He made the best use of shastram. He made the best use of the teaching. Made the best use of the teacher. And he is convinced. That is his vision. And then what about other than the self? Self is awareness, and awareness is the truth. Therefore, self is the only truth here. Only truth, secondless truth, non-dual, secondless reality is the self for him. And everything else means this whole jagat, including his mind, is what? Mithya. This is conviction is there. When he sees everything as mithya, there's mithya is everything is first he sees everything as mithya, then mithya is as good as non-existent. Next step. First you have to say mithya. Then don't say mithya is non-existent, unreal, okay? Mithya is as good as non-existent. It is non-countable. So you said beautifully, seeing the duality, he does not see the duality. How? Because he sees the non-dual reality, the Atma as Satyam. Seeing the Atma being the Satyam, Atma the awareness being the Satyam, and he sees the duality but as Mithya. Seeing the duality as Mithya is what? Not seeing the duality. Seeing the duality as mithya is not seeing the duality. Got it? So seeing the duality as mithya is not seeing the duality. Not seeing the duality implies what? Seeing the non-dual reality. As what? As the very self. What is self here? Is it clear? He is a wise person. He sees, but still he does not see. He is mithya. He sees the chair, but he sees the wood. He sees the chair as the wood. He is wearing ornaments. He sees the ornaments as gold. He sees the ocean. He sees the ocean as the water. He sees the mind. He sees the sense organs. He sees the pranas.
he sees the body, he sees the all the powers, and he sees all the entire world of the objective universe. He sees everything as Brahmatma, the awareness. He sees everything. He sees the duality as mithya, because for him, the mithya prapancha, including his mind, is satyam brahma. So he has, when in waking state, jnani always has advaita darshanam. The wise person has the vision of the non-dual reality, non-duality of the reality. He sees the ocean, he sees the water, he sees the ocean. Not that he does not see the ocean, but seeing the ocean, he says, ocean is nothing but water. It is the water. What is there is only water. He is convinced. He sees the gold, he sees the ornaments, but he says the ornaments are gold. It is only gold. Isn't it? He sees the whole Jagat. He sees everything. He says what? The whole Jagat is Atma. What is there is only Atma. This is what is Sada Advaita Darshanam. He does not lose sight of the truth. For him, truth is achyutam, that which does not slip away ever. Never does this truth slip away in the waking state for a wise person. Is it clear? So you fall asleep, you don't see anything. When you wake up, you are very clear. You see the ocean, but you see the water, you know ocean is water. The wise person falls asleep, no Jagat, wakes up, he sees the whole Jagat as what? Satyam. Okay? Which means, this is very important lesson. This is what, now seeing, when does he not see non-dual reality? He sees Advaita darshanam jnanaha sada asti. Always he has that vision, isn't it? For him, Atma, everything is Atma. So Advaitam is Satyam, and Advaita darshanam is always there for a wise person. Which means the jnani does not undo the universe to have Advaita experience. He doesn't need to work very hard to run away from the world, go and sit somewhere in a jungle and remain in meditation, close your eyes. I don't want to see the world. If I see the world, I'll have to see the Dvaitam, I'll have the problem. To see the, you know, to have the non-dual experience, I need to close your eyes. I need to close my eyes and sit. Why? I want to keep away from the world. I can't, wherever I go, the world is survive. Better if I keep my eyes closed, world is not there for me. No. Jnani keeps all his senses wide open and he perceives everything. He perceives the plurality, multiplicity, duality, all the differences as mithya. Okay? Physically, one, the jnani need not, does not, cannot. Okay? One does not, need not, cannot distance the world. Distance oneself from the world for non-dual experience. For him, for the wise person, non-duality is not the experience for him. It is the vision, okay, of the truth. Vision of the only secondless truth. Doesn't need to go away anywhere. Doesn't need to fall asleep. Doesn't need to take to some liquor or something for me. So somehow, without doing anything, remaining in the world, for him, the world is what? Always there is Advaita Darshanam. This vision. But here, the doubt comes. There are two people, okay? Let us take the wise person's condition of the mind of a wise person in the waking state and the condition of the mind of an mind of the person who is asleep. Here the question comes, Jnani also has non-dual experience. Wise person also, the ignorant person also has non-dual experience in sleep. Can we say, mental condition of the ignorant person in sleep, and the mental condition of the wise person in the waking is one and the same. Why can't we say? Because the one who is asleep also has non-dual experience. The wise person also has non-dual experience. Why can't we say the same condition of the mind is the same? Can we say that? Because their dvaitam is not there for a person who is asleep. Dvaitam is not there for wise person also, isn't it? So, jnani's mental condition and the ignorant sleeper's, other sleeper's mind, okay, condition of the sleeper's mind, is it one and the same? Is it the same? Gaudapachara rushes to say no. It is not the same. Why? We have to include one more thing. What about the person who practices meditation and attains samadhi experience? I tell you, from here onwards, all these verses are very significant, important verses. Very carefully, the yoga, Vedanta is differentiated from yoga. And the limitation of yoga is very beautifully pointed or shown by Gaudapada Acharyaji. Okay? Because samadhi is not jnanam. In samadhi, one can have non-dual experience as one has in sleep. Advaita darshanam is different from Advaita Anubhavaha. Why? Because Advaita Anubhavaha is temporary, for which the mind has to be switched off either by falling asleep or with difficulty by practicing meditation for many years. You have to switch your mind off, to have Advaita Anubhavaha, Advaita experience, non-dual experience, where you do not experience any pain, only sukham. Work very hard, practice meditation for years and years and years, and at last you attain that capacity, you sit in meditation, immediately you can turn your mind off and go remain in samadhi, Advaita experience. It's not sleep, isn't it? People call yogic sleep all. What is sleep? He wants to make it very clear. Why, please understand, in sleep, dvaitam is there or not. The sleeper, the one who is fast asleep, has Advaita Anubhavaha, we say, But Advaita Anubhavaha does not mean Dvaitam is not there. Dvaitam is in potential condition. Advaita Anubhavaha is equal to potential Dvaitam. Duality in potential form. Understand? Don't think you have resolved the duality. The duality has been resolved, negated, or it is there unnegated, it is very much there unmanifest. In it is dormant. Duality is dormant, latent, it is in potential condition. So, Advaita Anubhavaha, non-dual experience, is equal to having the duality in potential form. And whatever is in potential form, definitely will become, what now? Manifest. In sleepers, no? In sleep, what is the non-dual experience that the one who is asleep has in sleep is what? Potential duality. Whereas a wise person, and also in samadhi also, duality is not negated. Duality has not yet been resolved cognitively, because still ignorance is there. But what now? There also you have potentially duality is. Dvaitam is what? Potential dvaitam is still there, which means anubhavaha. So definitely somebody comes and rings the doorbell, what will happen? Your Advaita Anubhava will go. And then not it will go, the way you get irritated, angry, finished. Where is your moksha? Isn't your bound by your... No? It's like, how angry you will get as angry as a Rodney G. When phone rings in the class, and he is recording with all difficulty. Which means it is disturbable. Understand? The Advaita Anubhavaha you experience in sleep or in samadhi can be easily disturbed. Advaita Anubhavaha can be disturbed, whereas wise person's Advaita Darshanam, the vision of the non-dual reality, non-duality of the reality, that is what? Cannot be disturbed. Nothing can. Perception of duality cannot disturb the non-dual vision of the non-dual reality. The jnani is not disturbed. Jnani's vision of non-duality is not non-dual reality, is not disturbed at all by perception of duality. And the only difference is, in sleep and in samadhi, there is, you do not know you are. You have to understand. Whereas, wise person, in waking state, knowing he is, he knows, no? I know I am. Knowing I am. Seeing Dvaitam. being with the world, understanding the jnaya abhinnam, understanding the inevitably inseparable this universe. Okay? Being in the world, with the world, remaining in duality, perceiving the duality, the jnani is very convinced this duality is mithya. It is as good as non-existent. I, the self, am the atma, the satyam atma, eva satyam, anyat sarvam mithya. And this, he sees the duality, but seeing the duality without closing his eyes, perceiving, enjoying, experiencing, going through everything, he sees everything as mithya. Which means perception of duality does not disturb the Advaita vision. When you perceive the waves and the ocean, does your perception of waves and ocean disturb your understanding, clear understanding of, doubt-free, ascertain understanding of the water being the only reality of the entire ocean? No. Why? It's a fact. Because it is a fact, because you have the clear vision of the fact, the vision of the ascertained vision of the fact cannot be disturbed by anything that is perceived. It's exactly like we perceive the sunlight. My perception of the sunrise and sunset does not disturb the clear understanding, my vision of the fact of what? The sun, no, does not rise and does not set. Similarly, even though I know, for me, the earth always seems to be stationary, my perception of the earth is what? It is stationary, but it is not disturbed. It does not disturb. Isn't it? Non-stationary, my perception of the earth being non-stationary does not disturb my vision of the, my understanding, clear understanding of the fact that in fact earth is not stationary. Isn't it? This is what perception is possible. Perception need not disturb the clear vision of the fact. Cannot disturb the vision of the fact. Therefore, a wise person's understand, anubhavaha is disturbable, whereas, you know, the vision is not disturbed, cannot be disturbed. Vision of the fact is not disturbed. So, Gaudapacharya makes it very clear. No, please remember, don't think meditation will result in samadhi and samadhi is not enlightenment, samadhi is not mokshaha, samadhi is disturbable Advaita experience. It is not the non-disturbable, convinced vision of the fact. Okay, therefore, condition of the jnani's mind in waking state is completely different from the condition of the mind of the meditator in samadhi and condition of the mind of the one who is fast asleep. Na samaha. Okay, that is what is explained in this following verse. Before going to the verse, I want to make it very clear. So I did first explain already. Now I can read the verse easily. Could I care at all? I'm thinking I should do a big class, nice class. Because very interesting verse. Hereafter, for me, very interesting. In a way, yoga is going to be negated. See, apart from negative yoga, that's why I tell you, these verses really well unfolded, well understood, well received, well retained, and well dwelt upon will give you a big impact. Really to work. He's going to say beautifully all those things. Understand? You have to see the difference. Because many people are of the opinion as well yoga. Why yoga? See, we do not undermine the value of yoga system. Now, Vedanta, we value that. To prepare the mind, you need yoga. Is it all those eightfold limbs, etc.? But it doesn't remove the ajnana.
One burning question. What about Turiya state? In that, one is beyond everything.
There is no such state called Turiya state. There are only three states. Turiyam is actually a vision of the Atma being. Atma is called Turiyam. Yes. There is Jnanam. There is knowledge.
It's the same thing, what you are talking.
I'm saying, by practicing meditation, if you put your mind to sleep, that is not, can give you Advaita Anubhava, which can be disturbed, which means it will get disturbed. It is not the, because there's no knowledge. Whereas, anyway, I'm only saying it can be disturbed, means what? There is no moksha.
Patanjali, that's a different topic, I'll leave it there.
No, that is what I am saying. Patanjali is a great Mahatma. I bow to his feet. Okay? But Patanjali has brought this discipline. That is what the problem is. There is no such state. People mistake the yoga. And they think they both are the same. No. That's not true. See, any amount of practice of any discipline, yoga is a discipline, isn't it? All disciplines. But those disciplines can make the mind sharp, brilliant, bright and subtle to grasp the teaching. But that itself will not remove the teaching. We will not remove the ignorance. No. That is what Gaurava Acharya here after his job, okay? I only introduced now. The rest of the verses, he'll do that. Because not only you, many people are given that idea. That is why they hate studying Upanishads. Don't want to study in Upanishads. They want to hold on to meditation. And they want, through meditation, they want to attain the truth. Yeah. They think Advaita, mistake the Advaita Anubhava for Advaita vision. And they need to avoid the world to have the experience. Isn't it? You can have Advaita experience only when you really avoid the world. And you have to really deprive yourself of perceiving the world. But here, your jnani, being in the world, with the world, experiencing the world, experience the duality, and he says there is no duality. For which he must be convinced of the satyam, the truth being the Atma. Which means he must have the vision of the Atma. For which, isn't it? It's not simply knowing, and the conviction. That is why whole Shastram and the Guru.
Taking on Punjab Swamiji, that's going to provide Pramana, Shastra Pramana, for getting that conviction about the Atma vision, that is non dual vision.
Yeah.
Because from the Dvaita Anubhavam to Advaita Anubhavam to Advaita Darshanam. Come there. Once a jnani attains that Advaita Darshanam, it should be based on some pramanam, because he should be deeply convinced that what I say, na iti, na iti, na iti, goes on negating everything, finally reaches that state.
That's what we said. Yeah. See,
so when you. That pramanam is what we will probably be seeing also.
No, pramanam is always seeing the pramanam. Our discussion is based on pramanam only. Always I seeing the pramanam, isn't it? Upanishadi is pramanam. Upanishadi itself is pramanam. Upanishadi is pramanam. You're already in the pramanam, no?
Yes.
Because in the pramanam itself, or the past part of the study, we ourselves, now we confirm, reconfirm, we ascertain, we are getting convinced that how pramanam is useful. We see the shark, pramanam being the pramanam. And you see that. That's what's now only started that.
Future things will, I think, make it more
clear. Yeah. No, I want to do more anyway. It's okay.
Swamiji, my doubt was only that. That is, have we already stepped into the portals of that kind of pramanam? It says that, yes, this is it, because that is not. This is
No. See what happens.
When we put our finger on one thing, because that consciousness, which is all-pervading consciousness, which we are able to, by our cognizance, this thing, feel, and we are able to get the darshan of that.
Again, darshanam again, whatever concept, whatever you think as darshanam or feeling, etc., that also, that's why the listening in the class will slowly help you have the vision, and when we will just be with the vision, we don't need to talk.
Exactly.
That's what the Shastra will do. The Shastra will, because then slowly it takes you. Yeah. So, okay? Would you mind five more minutes? I'll read the verse. Nigrihitasya manaso
Nirvikalpasya dhimataha
Pracharasatu
vigneyaha
Sushuktenyona tatsamaha
Sushupenyo
Natatsamaha Natatsamaha. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.